And I want to just share with you this morning, as if you've been here, we've been talking about Christmas outside the box. All right? An unusual Christmas. Have you had it already? I'm experiencing it. Not the norm, not the usual. I love all the traditions, and I'm going to participate. Our grandchildren were over Friday night, had a great time opening gifts. But that can't be where it stops, because I believe to have a Christmas outside the box, it's got to be more than presents. It's about His presence. And if we don't have His presence during Christmas, then you're going to be able to box that up. But the kind of Christmas we're talking about, you can't put in a box. It cannot be contained. We talked about the presence of hope. We talked about the presence of love. We talked about the presence of joy. And today, we talk about the presence of peace. These are the things that will give us Christmas outside the box. In fact, in Luke, the second chapter, let's read again the story. And tonight we're going to pick it up where we leave off today when the shepherds come to visit us this evening. But we find this account in Luke, the second chapter, verses 8 through 14. He says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. 'Do not be afraid,' the angel said. 'I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" That's where we left off last week, and now this verse. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." How many think that's great news? Who needs a Savior? He's been born to us, right? He's the Messiah. That's Hebrew. You know, in the Greek, Christ, the Anointed One. This is Him. Jesus said, "I am the one that you've been waiting for." And then I love in verse 12, as the story continues, can you imagine being there? "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." When you see that, that's going to be your sign. I was reading an article the other day, and I didn't know this, but of course, we think of swaddling clothes today. It's a term we use to wrap a child up tight, and we swaddle the child. But actually, if you go back many more years than that, swaddling clothes could actually be considered death clothes. It wasn't uncommon for people who traveled in that day to wrap swaddling clothes underneath their garments. Because oftentimes when you traveled then, if something happened or if there was a death on the way, you had to have provision. And that was the swaddling clothes that they had. And they would wrap the person in those clothes. And so some believe Jesus could have been wrapped in Joseph's swaddling clothes. And those were His death clothes. Because the whole purpose of His coming, we must not forget, if it ends with Christmas, we're dead in our sins. Taylor slipped up, or did he? No, really, that is what it's about this Christmas. We're looking towards Easter, the whole idea of Jesus coming as a baby, living and dying, and giving Himself as a sacrifice. This is how He will become our Savior. So they said, "Go and you'll find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. It'll be a sign to you." And then suddenly, now we got one angel, now a whole army of angels show up. Can you imagine? "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom His favor rests.'" If you have the King James, "Glory to God in the highest, and goodwill towards man." The text, it can be read several different ways, that that those men who walk in God's favor and His will, His peace, His pleasure. If you look at the Greek word, it can mean pleasure. Some people struggle with this whole announcement of the angels. I don't know about you, but if you take it at face value, Jesus failed in His mission. Because peace didn't come to earth. We've had more war now than we've ever had. We can't even hardly turn on the news anymore without seeing destruction and death everywhere we go. Where is this peace on earth? I think the angels were declaring something very important to us that we need to understand. This peace that the Messiah was bringing was for those in whom God would have favor. Remember, Mary, you are highly favored. In Ephesians, it says that we are also, same word, we are full of grace, and we have been accepted into the Beloved. We too are highly favored, but it's something that we must receive. Amen? Notice here, there's a glory to God, and then there's a peace that comes to man. Somehow I think those go together. As we give glory to God, He brings peace into our hearts. Is that true? I love what Brother Piper said. He said, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. I think that's true. It is the peace of God which brings glory to God in our lives. I want you to consider the word itself, because from its root, we have three expressions. And in your insert, you can fill in the blanks if you like. This particular peace means to join. It means to rest. It means to set at one again. To set at one again. Do you see it there? This peace that the angels were declaring that Jesus would bring, the Prince of Peace. It is a peace that would connect us together again to God. See, something happened in the garden. We used to be one, but sin came into the world. We had this wonderful plan, but then there was a problem called sin. But God had a provision, and this is it. He said, yes, we're separated by sin, but I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to bring peace into your life. We're going to be joined together again. We're going to come to a place of rest. And things are going to be set as one again. That's restoration, isn't it? And I want to look this morning just real quickly. There is time, believe me. I want you to just look. I'm going to give you three quick manifestations of this peace. Amen? I think our slide got off there. We didn't catch that this morning. Sorry about that. But you get the gist, right? The first thing we want to look at, and you can fill this in, we're going to talk about peace with God. Peace with God. That's foundational. The second is peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves. Who needs that today? And the third is, if you have peace with God and you have peace with yourself, then you're going to be able to have peace with others. Peace with others. I want to just real quickly have you consider these three manifestations or expressions of the peace that the angels were talking about. Interesting. If you look in your Strong's Concordance, this word can also be translated prosperity. Prosperity. How many are looking for prosperity? Yeah. What's that mean? More than enough. Right? So maybe the kind of prosperity we're looking for isn't the prosperity God really had for us that morning. It is in His peace. You really want to prosper in God. In God, it's going to be through this peace, isn't it? So let's consider these scriptures that I've attached to these points. To have peace with God, that's foundational. If you don't have this, you'll never have peace with yourself. You'll never have peace with others until you have peace with God. First, I love this scripture, Romans 5:1. It's foundational to our faith, isn't it? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. This peace, here's why that scripture sometimes doesn't make sense. What the angel said, hey, it didn't happen. Yes, it did. This peace is for those whose God's favor and pleasure rests upon. This peace is for those who have been justified through faith. Not everyone's going to have this peace. This peace is being offered to us. This peace comes by justification through faith. It comes to those who have been justified. These are the ones who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? It is through faith. It is through belief. Romans 15, it's not on your slide, but I want you to think. This is a great verse. I love this verse. Romans 15:13. We've read this with some of the other candles. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where do you get the peace? It comes in believing. This peace is going to be offered. The Messiah has come to earth to be our Savior. It's being offered. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's not love that saves people. No. Love brought it to you. Everybody said, well, if God really loved the world, why would He let people? It's not about God loves. There's going to be people who will perish. It's not because they weren't loved. It's because they didn't believe. It's because they didn't receive what God brought to them. The peacemaker has come to offer you this peace. He wants to be at peace with you. That division that was created through sin, God from the beginning has wanted to bring us back. He wants to join us back together again. He wants to enter His rest. He wants us to be one again with Him. And He's made that provision because He loves us. Jesus came, and through justification by faith, we have entered into peace. We're no longer striving to be saved. It's not like, gee, I got to do this list here. I got to get this list right in order to have peace with God. God says, no, you don't need to do that. I'm bringing this peace. I just need you to believe. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, this is the peace that the angels were talking about. You know, this Ephesians 2:8 says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? Hallelujah. We're saved for the workmanship, not by works, but for works. We are being justified. We are entering into peace with God. I remember, so you know the story, when I was in Moscow years ago, I stood in a Bot Street, and we were trying to get a crowd together. Usually if you just start singing a song in English, people will gather around. But I got up to speak to this interpreter, and I had a white flag, and I waved it. And people came around, and he said, "This is an American standing here waving a white flag in Moscow. Hey, man, that'll attract a crowd, right? What's going on?" And I told him, I said, "Listen, our countries, we're at odds with each other." And then I told them about the plan. I said, "God is waving a white flag. He's declaring reconciliation, peace. He's offering you peace. And all you have to do is come and receive it and believe in Him." That peace with God. That's what Christmas is. How many of you have peace with God? There's people all around you who do not. You say, but the angel said it's for all the world. Yes, it is. It's being offered. But to receive it, you believe. Now, what about peace with ourselves? If we have peace with God, I believe we automatically go to a place of peace with ourselves. Who needs that this morning? How many of you are struggling? I sensed it even in Amy's story, didn't you? She had to come through that time. But when you have peace with God, you can come to peace with yourself. I love this scripture, and Amy shared it for us. This is from the NIV. Hers was different, but there it is. Be not anxious about anything. What's the opposite of peace? Anxiety, right? Anxiety's out. He said, don't be anxious. Be peaceful about it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And what? And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. That peace that surpasses all understanding, it's going to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. When I look at that scripture, something hits me. This whole idea about guarding my heart. If I need my heart guarded, that means maybe I'm under attack. Maybe there's something going on in my life. It's peace that's going to guard me, protect me, to have guards around my heart. Hey, you can't, hold it. Oh, back off, buddy. Back off. You know what I'm talking about? That anxiety that you have, that pain that you have, that uncertainty, those worries, that guilt, you don't need it anymore. You're at peace with God. Now you need that peace to come into your own life and stop struggling and stop wrestling and stop fighting and come to the place of rest, to be joined to Him, to rest in Him, to be made one again. That's that abiding we talked about last week. That's where the peace of God comes from. And we're going to be able to find it. So oftentimes in my life, I don't know about you. I see Hank over here. He's a lawyer. And we have two types of lawyers in the courtroom, right? We have a defense attorney. Is that right? And we have a what? A prosecuting attorney. So oftentimes, I don't know about you, you know, I both of those attorneys show up in my life. Sometimes I get real defensive. I got my defense attorney out there. You know, he's out there arguing my case for me. And praise the Lord, you know. But I also have a prosecuting attorney that shows up in my life. He beats me down a lot. He's always accusing me, trying to prove his case. You know what Jesus did? What did they do at the end of the trial? They rest. And Jesus came and said, okay, both you guys sit down. We're going to rest this case. And I'm going to take care of it. You don't need a defense. There is no prosecutor anymore. I've taken care of it all. And you can be at peace with yourself. You don't have to be anxious anymore. In fact, you can do what 1 Peter 5 says. You can cast all your cares, all your anxiety upon Him, for He cares for you. You know why you can do that? Because of Christmas. Because Jesus came. He came. The Prince of Peace. So that we could be united again with God. We are at peace with God. We're not. God is not my enemy. In fact, I am now His friend. I've been reconciled with Him. And now I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And that leads to the third expression of this peace. And that is peace with others. Peace with others. Here's a verse you're going to need for some of your family gatherings. Am I right? Some of you? Not all of us. Some of us, we're, hey, it's going to be great. How many of you are not looking forward to meeting some of your family? Maybe there's going to be a little tension. This scripture declares, I think this is one of the most practical scriptures in the Bible because it kind of gives a real life expression to it. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I'm glad it's written the way it is, aren't you? If they left out that first verse, I would be in trouble, wouldn't you? If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, how many of you know there's your part, God's part, and other people's part in everything? You got to do your part, whatever it is, as much as it depends on you. There's two sides to it. You got to do your side. You got to do your part to be at peace with others. See, if I'm at peace with God and I'm at peace with myself, then I'm going to be able to be at peace with you. I'm going to be able to deal with whatever, you know, at that family. I mean, listen, any of you got that brother, that uncle? And how many of you got family gatherings and Christmas is your truce? We're all going to come over for dinner. But as soon as this dinner's over, we're going to get back to that 40-year-old grudge that we've had. That time when you hurt me. Or maybe more serious things have happened in your family. I love the story during World War I and when the Germans and the French, you know the story where they were battling and they were, it was around Christmas time and there was a no man's zone that was created and they were shooting at each other. It was horrible. All of a sudden, some of the Brits and French heard some strange music coming from the German side, Christmas carols. And they thought, well, how strange is that? And pretty soon they saw a Christmas tree pop up. And then they started talking to each other. And finally, two of the officers did what was unthinkable. They walked out into no man's zone. And they fraternized together. Which you're not supposed to do in war, right? In fact, this particular event enhanced that as a law among soldiers. Because what happened is then all the soldiers got out of their trenches. And they came and they began singing Christmas carols. They played a soccer game out in no man's zone. They buried their dead. They had this great Christmas party and declared a truce on their own. Even those in authority were trying to get a hold of them and couldn't reach them because they were having a party. Well, after Christmas is over, they all went back to their trenches and there was a problem. They couldn't shoot each other anymore because they had made contact. When you're just a figure over in the trench, that's one thing, but I just played soccer with you. We just exchanged some tobacco and had some drinks together, and I don't know if I can pull out a gun now anymore. And after that event, they had to come and move all those soldiers out so they'd bring new soldiers in so the fighting could start again. Say, man, that sounds like my family. Christmas is a great time. But I want you to know, God's not wanting a temporary truce. There was even pictures of this event in the newspaper. And those generals and authority came and they stiffened up the penalty for fraternizing with the enemy. You could be put in prison for that. Because they knew if you fraternize with the enemy, we're not going to be able to fight. I think some of the greatest things we can do in having peace with others is meal times, table times, party times, times to get together, declare a truce, and allow God to come. As much as it depends on you, you can live it. Bring this peace into your family. I want to close with a verse that I think is so powerful. So powerful. Do you believe this before you read it? What if it's true? Could it change your family, your relationships? Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I wonder if this Christmas, the peace that the angels were declaring, this peace is available for all those whom God is well pleased with, for all those of goodwill, for all those who have received the favor of God. That peace is available to you, and I'm going to give it to you, not as the world gives. I'm going to give you this peace. I'm going to give you this peace, and it's going to overflow out of your life. And you know what the key is to doing this? Now, I know some of you are sitting here, and you've already, you got the prosecuting attorney, and you got the defense attorney, and they're all working right now, speaking to you. Have them sit down. Here's the key. It is so simple. Are you in awe of the forgiveness of God in your life? Are you amazed at what God has done? Of this incredible story of the resurrection? Is that just a dropping thing for you in your life? Or is the offense more amazing? Or is the trouble and the conflict more amazing? Or is it God's forgiveness is more amazing? Because if it is, it will trump everything else. You know the parable of the man who owed an impossible debt. He couldn't pay it. Jesus told the parable, and the king said, I'm going to throw you in debtor's prison. It was this impossible debt. It would have taken hundreds of thousands of years to pay. And the guy said, please be merciful to me. And remember, the king said, okay, he had compassion on him, and he forgave him the debt, remember? And he let him go, and he left rejoicing. Wow, how cool is that? That's you. That's me. That's the debt we could never pay. Are you amazed? Or do you just think of it as information? Is it just knowledge? Or are you in awe of it? What has God done for me? Or I think sometimes in our church culture today, well, man, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, this is my legal standing with God. Okay, but are you amazed? Are you just blown away by what God has done for you? What does the man do in that story? Something really weird. He leaves the presence of the king, and he goes out, and he finds a man who owes him 300 denarii. That's 3 months' salary. And he took him by the throat and choked him and said, pay me all you owe. And the man, same words, have compassion on me. I don't have the money. And instead, he threw him in the debtor's prison. When the king found out what he had done, isn't it a ridiculous story? Who would do such a thing? You've been forgiven like billions of dollars, and you're going after somebody for chump change? Say, that's ridiculous. It sure is. That's exactly what we're doing when we cannot forgive. When we cannot forgive as Christ has forgiven us. How did he forgive you? Are you amazed at this? You didn't earn it. You're just in God's eyes. When you read that scripture, I'm justified. How many of you are thinking, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not justified. No. No, you don't know me. Believe me, I'm not justified. Yes, you are. Because God has justified you through Christ's substitution. And when he looks at him, you're justified because of Jesus, and you're standing in this place. Is that not awesome? Is that not the most incredible good news you've ever heard? That I no longer have to work for my salvation. It's not what I've done, it's what God has done. I can't behave myself into it. I can't behave myself out of it. It's a free gift. And all I have to do, he said, is to be justified by faith and believe. All I need to do to be full of hope and peace is to believe. And if I believe, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. This is the gospel message of Christmas. Are you amazed? Or is it just head knowledge? You can quote the scriptures. You got your theology right. You got your doctrine right. But has it really washed over your soul where, hey, how can I not forgive? God wants you to be a love glove on his hand, and part of that is through peace. Connie and I, and I know it's late, but Connie and I were at Sonic the other night going through the drive-thru, right? Over on West Street, getting a drink. Route 44, diet cherry limeade, easy on the ice. I got it memorized. My wife's taught me how to say it. Make sure you say easy on the ice, easy on the ice. In front of us was a car. I kind of felt funny about that car. Just the way the guy was placing his order and stuff. Man, it's like he was being rude to the lady on the little speaker. Well, he gets around. Sure enough, we're watching him. She opens the door. She hands him a drink. He starts yelling at her and throws the drink back at her and drives off and doesn't pay for his food. And we're next in line. I said, oh, Connie, First off, I wanted to chase that car down, pull him out of that car, and beat him to death. That's what I wanted to do, you know. But the peace of God came over me. And I was so amazed at how I have been forgiven. And we pulled up to the window, and the lady doesn't answer for a while. She's yelling. She's so upset. Tears are in her eyes. She opened the door, and I said, "Hi." I said, "I want you to know something. That man's problem is not your problem. Do not give him power over you. You are wonderful, and God loves you." And she said, "Your drink is free, mister." I said, "No, paid her the money." But I said, "Listen, don't let that, listen, God loves you. It's Christmas. And there are people like that that'll just steal your peace and your joy. Don't let it happen. And you, on the other hand, can be present for times like that when you can be a dispenser of peace and joy to other people. Is that right?" Well, that's exactly right. And we're going to come to this table this morning as we prepare to bring this service to a close. This is the table of peace. And I want to read for you Ephesians, the full text of this. I want you to understand why this table is a table of peace. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off," you were? You've been brought back. That's that word, join. You've been reconnected. "You who were afar off, now you've been brought near. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." This is it. Are you amazed? "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity," or the enemy. "And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Whoa. I'm amazed. I'm more than amazed. I'm like freaked out by this. Because if it's true, then Amy can go through the things she's went through and still possess that peace. If it's really true, then I can have Christmas dinner with relatives and people that I really don't like. In fact, they annoy me. In fact, there's some great offenses that exist between us that have divided us for a long time. I believe Jesus came to let you be at peace with him and then to be a ministry of reconciliation, both being at peace with yourself. See, you never get to number three till you get number one, number two. You'll never get, the reason you have so much conflict down here is because of one and two. If you're not at peace with God and you're not at peace with yourself, you're still struggling in yourself. We believe in this new year, this is going to be the year to let go. God spoke that to me. This is the year of letting go. Some of you got to let go. Some things. God's going to bring peace. He's going to join you again. He's going to do exactly what the angel said. He's going to join us. He's going to bring us to a place of perfect rest, and he's going to make us one again. Are you ready for that? And it's going to trickle. This is trickle down. This is what this is. So today, as we come to this table, we're going to celebrate that peace and the work that God did through his son, through his flesh, to make peace so he could preach peace. It's peace for the world, but only for those who will take it. Here you are today. I hope you'll take it. It's a gift to you. And when you give glory to God, you give it to him, that peace comes. It's an incredible relationship. You say, "Wait a minute. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." How many say, "Wait a minute. That's a contradiction"? Not really. Not really. If you read it in context, Jesus even said, you're going to go to homes and you're going to declare your peace. And they're going to receive it or reject it. And if they reject it and you are the Son of Peace, you're going to receive that peace back and you're going to go on. It's not a contradiction. He's saying this peace is available for those who want to take it. But to those who don't receive it, it's not for them. For to have the favor of God and the pleasure of God and the goodwill of God on your life, it is to receive that peace. Amen. Some people will not receive it. He said there will be fathers set against wives and children against their parents. And it doesn't sound very good to me, but it's reality. And you're going to be right in the middle of that conflict, but you're going to be a son of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Are you wanting to take that today? That's God's gift to you this Christmas. All the gifts, but this is the greatest, the presence of peace. Father, we love you, and we open our hearts to this reality today, and we want that peace. We want to be at peace with you. I pray that if there are those here today who aren't at peace with you, you've offered it, but they rejected it. I pray today they would open their hearts to you, and that you would bring them to that place of peace with you, of reconciliation through the cross, through Jesus. It's all available for us. We don't have to earn it. We just have to believe and receive it. Father, I pray it be true. And for those of us who have received it, Lord, some of us are still not at peace with ourselves. I pray that we could roll all our cares on you, that we come to that place of rest and we stop fighting and we stop working and trying to achieve. And Lord, that we could just be at peace with you, knowing that what you've done for us is so incredible, that we can be at peace with ourselves. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. And some of us have done some terrible things, Father. There's things in my past I'm so embarrassed of. But I'm at peace with it, because you have reconciled me to yourself and you have justified me. I am just by faith. And because of that, you have given me peace. And Father, I pray then that once we come to peace with ourselves, that that would overflow in our peace with each other, with our families, our friends, our church, or with the people we work with, whoever comes across our path. We are sons of peace. Father, as much as it depends on us, we want to give that same gift. Would you help us do that? Bring us to this perfect union today of your peace, and it will happen at this table in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please. We're going to sing, "Oh, Come, Let Us Adore Him." I don't know about you, but when I think about this incredible gospel message, I can't help but fall down on my knees and just say, Lord, how is it possible that you would love me like you do? It is, what did the scripture say? This peace is beyond understanding. You can't comprehend it. Anxiety is logical. Peace is not. And in the midst of the storm, we will live as sons of peace. Amen. Peace with God. Get that straight first. Peace with yourself. Peace with others. Let's complete that cycle. Amen. It's the message that God wants. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you today to stick around, to come. We want to pray with you. This is your day. God's drawing you. What's he saying? He's waving a white flag. He said, come on. We're at peace. Come. What separated us no longer separates us. The gap has been filled in Christ. This is what Christmas is all about. Wow. Be amazed, will you? Be amazed. That amazement will help you do supernatural things. Amen. I want you to think about something about Mary. God did not suspend all the laws of nature in that birth. Still needed a seed. He used the natural and the supernatural. He brought them together. Same for you. Be supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. Wow, that's my life. It's amazing. Father, we love you. We are your church. And we leave this place to celebrate, to be with family, to enjoy our times together. Help us to live out this message. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. Would you help us? Anoint us with this great peace to your glory. That's what the angel said, to your glory, to your glory, to your glory. Peace on those who have your favor. That's us. We love you and we love each other in Jesus' name. Go in God's peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be here to pray. You need healing in your body. You need encouragement. Whatever, you just come. Take advantage of the church, the body, the ministry. It's God's gift to you. It's part of His peace. He wants you to have it. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Enjoy yourself today with your family. Come back tonight. We're going to have a great time together. We love you. Thank you. God bless you.